Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again, he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough."
Thank you, Hugh. And can I just add my welcome to you all this lunchtime? I think it can feel hard for many of us, Christians, in the city in 2016. Not because we are persecuted, like so many Christians are around the world, but rather because the church can seem small in the city, I think, and the message of Jesus can seem alien to many of our colleagues and be perceived as completely irrelevant by the culture around us. But the passage we've just read should encourage followers of Jesus Christ. We should take courage because Jesus is growing his kingdom. It is God's plan. And we should take courage because the passage reminds us that Jesus' message is not irrelevant. It is transformational. If you've been here for the past 3 weeks, I've been here for one of them, you'll know that we're looking through chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel. And in this part of Luke's Gospel, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has set his face towards Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, though completely innocent, he will suffer a criminal's death. And rather than this being a tragedy, it's God's rescue mission for humanity. To reconcile humanity with himself. And in these chapters of Luke, Jesus is teaching people about who he is, and he is preparing his disciples for what lies ahead. And we finished last week's passage with a religious leader, the leader of the synagogue, rejecting Jesus and his message in verse 14, while a crippled woman at the bottom of the social scale, well, she responded to Jesus by trusting in him, verse 13, and she was healed. Her body was restored to health from physical disability. And this was a picture that Jesus' mission, the reason that he's going to Jerusalem, is to rescue people from their spiritual bondage. And his kingdom, the kingdom that he is going to grow, is going to be full of people rescued from their spiritual bondage. And in this short passage we've read today, Jesus is giving us a picture of what the growth of his kingdom will be like. What the growth of his kingdom will be like. And let's be honest, with the very mixed response that Jesus has been getting in Luke's Gospel, the disciples, his followers, must have been wondering, well, what should we expect? What's it going to be like further down the line? And I think this passage teaches us three things, and they're written on your sheet. Firstly, Jesus' kingdom can look small and unimpressive. It can look small and unimpressive to others. And secondly, it is growing. It's already grown massively, and we should expect it to continue to grow until completion, because that's God's plan. And thirdly, the message of the kingdom may not sound impressive. Jesus' message may not sound impressive, but it is transformational. So the first point is pretty clear here. Jesus says in verses 18 and 19, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." And of course, a mustard seed is really small. I brought one in today. I thought I might have lost it in my bag, but I didn't. It's tiny, very small, and it was the smallest of the seeds that the farmers would have planted at that time. If you can't see it at the back, that's good. It just proves the point. It is very, very small. And yet, the mustard seed would grow into a sizable bush even within a year. But if you didn't know that, you really wouldn't expect much from the tiny mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds that the farmers would plant. And so it was, and so it is, in a sense, with Jesus' kingdom. It must have looked small and unimpressive at times as he was heading to Jerusalem. Jesus was born into poverty. He was going to die a criminal's death on the cross in Jerusalem. He didn't own any land. He didn't have an army. His band of disciples were relatively uneducated, unimpressive people in the world's eyes, fishermen and unpopular tax collectors. Jesus' message of repentance, reconciliation with God through faith was blasphemy to the religious establishment and foolishness to the educated of the day. So the kingdom that he was bringing in must have looked unimpressive. And throughout history, throughout church history, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, has so often looked weak. And the people taking it have looked weak and unimpressive. In the book of Acts, we learn that the apostle Paul, who spread the gospel through so much of Europe and some of Asia, well, he was beaten often. And he was shipwrecked, and he spent years in prison. His freedom was taken from him, and he must have looked so unimpressive before Roman leaders as he gave an account of the gospel. And today in the world, I'm sure we can think of many places where it's a very dangerous thing to be a Christian, where you can be punished by death for being a Christian or sharing the news of the good news of Jesus, or you can be confined to a labor camp. And in these countries, God's kingdom must look weak to others looking on. In my summer reading, I reread some of the life of an American missionary, Jim Elliot. Many of you may have heard of him. Last century, he and four companions attempted to take the good news of Jesus to the Aucas people in Ecuador. This was a group of people who had never been successfully reached by any outsiders, who were incredibly hostile even to other Indians in that area, and any Westerner who had encountered them had been killed. And as you read of his life, it seems like it's a very inspirational life, but it was really leading up to this point. You know, this is something that was very much on his heart. He wanted to share the good news of Jesus with these people. And so after many months of planning, the time came where Jim and his four fellow missionaries landed next to a river on a beach, and they were waiting to have the first encounter with these people. And within 4 days, they had a really successful encounter with three of the people from that group. Within 6 days, they all lay dead. That was it. And the gospel and God's kingdom must have looked very unimpressive. But the second point today is that God's kingdom will grow, and it will keep growing until it's complete. It is God's plan, so it will happen. And I think the passage makes that very clear. Jesus is very confident that his kingdom is going to grow. Now, anyone can make plans. Many of us will have made summer plans, perhaps a camping trip, perhaps a trip to Europe, but our plans can go wrong. Sometimes someone can forget the tent pegs. It's not unknown, particularly to me, to get on the wrong Eurostar and end up heading to Paris instead of Brussels. So our plans can go wrong. But God's plan to grow his church, to grow his kingdom, that will not go wrong. It will not be left incomplete or abandoned. It will not fail. And in verse 19, Jesus says, the tiny mustard seed grows into a tree, and the birds of the air perch in its branches. Other translations say that the birds make nests in its branches, implying it's going to become a really large tree, not just a bush, but a large tree. And this is the imagery of the birds is drawing on an Old Testament imagery, which describes God's kingdom, including many nations, people from many nations. This is going to be something really, really big. There's going to be exponential growth from the tiny, unimpressive mustard seed. And of course, the growth has been explosive, hasn't it? We know that. The uneducated people went on to tell others, uneducated disciples went on to tell many others about the message of repentance and God's grace and mercy and love, despite being persecuted terribly at times. The Roman emperors who tried to stop the message of Jesus did so in vain. In China, another country where in the past there's been terrible persecution, there are now an estimated 100 million Christians, which is just incredible. And in the story of Jim Elliot, the true story of Jim Elliot, well, within 2 years, his widow and young child were actually living with the Aucas people, sharing their lives with them, and also the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that group of people is now very different, and no longer the kind of bloodthirsty culture that they were. So we can have confidence that the gospel message will grow, that God's kingdom will grow, because it's his plan and not ours. And it should give us confidence to live distinctive Christian lives in the city, shouldn't it? It can be hard. It can be especially hard sharing the message of Jesus. But it should give us confidence. It's God's plan to grow his kingdom. Finally, the third point. The kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom of God, is transformational. Verses 20 and 21 in your Bibles. What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it was worked all through the dough. So what's Jesus showing us in this picture? Well, again, we see an inauspicious start. It's unimpressive, a tiny bit of yeast, but followed by massive change. A little bit of yeast eventually causes a massive batch of dough to be leavened. And in the translation, it's actually more like an equivalent to 30 kilograms of flour. So this is really not your kind of average bread that you put in the oven. This is an enormous batch of dough. And the dough is completely changed, isn't it? Its character has changed. And we've seen that throughout church history as well, haven't we? Paul, the apostle, was a persecutor of Christians. He wanted to murder Christians. He wanted to put them into prison himself. He was completely transformed. And we'll know many accounts, I'm sure, of Christians whose lives have been completely transformed by encountering Jesus Christ. And of course, any Christian is really transformed and can look forward to a completely different future in Christ. But also, the change is quite undramatic, isn't it? If you sit and watch your bread in the oven, or even before you put it in the oven and you just want to watch it kind of become leavened, it's not the most interesting thing to do. It happens slowly. It's not an instant thing. And you can't see what's happening under the surface. And that's like the gospel, isn't it? Because Jesus is changing our hearts, so we can't always see what's happening under the surface. At the time of these events, many were wondering, well, what's Jesus' kingdom going to be like? Is he going to have an army? Is he going to bring about a political revolution? Is he going to use force? But Jesus is describing something very different here. It's about the heart. It's transformational, but it doesn't happen in an instant. And it isn't necessarily dramatic to watch. It might not look very impressive. But the transformation will eventually be complete. The whole of the enormous 30 kilograms of flour, the enormous batch of dough, is transformed by the yeast. And one day God's kingdom will be fully realized. It is, after all, his plan. So what can we take from this passage today? Well, firstly, for those looking into the Christian faith, and we're really pleased that you're here, and please don't miss out on the transformational gospel of Jesus Christ. You might be wondering how many apparently sane, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking of people here, but apparently sane people perhaps can claim to follow a man who died at the hands of the Romans 2,000 years ago. In an age now when many will claim that science and modern experience has made the gospel of Jesus Christ completely irrelevant and obviously untrue. But I encourage you to take note and to continue to look into the claims of Jesus Christ, who he is, and why his message is transformational and so important. And secondly, for those of us who are already trusting and following in Jesus Christ, if we are feeling weak and weary about being a distinctive Christian in the city, and if we're feeling particularly nervous about ever sharing our faith with others, we should take courage. Let's not underestimate the power of the gospel. Let's not forget that the message of Jesus is transformational. It transforms hearts, and we can't always see what's going on under the surface. We may feel weak, isolated in our office. We may feel inadequate. But history shows that one, and the gospel tells us, the Bible tells us that one man, one woman, armed with the gospel, whether a missionary or a church reformer, or perhaps even an office worker in the city, can make a huge difference to a life or a future or a society, because the good news of Jesus is transformational and it is very powerful. So let's take courage and endeavour to be faithful, because the growth of the kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is God's plan, not ours. Let's not be discouraged if Jesus and his church seems unimpressive and irrelevant to the culture around. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to rescue sinners and to bring them into an eternal, completely fulfilling relationship with you. Thank you that the gospel message that Jesus brought is transformational, that a relationship with him is transformational. And we can feel, Lord, that that message is sometimes perceived as irrelevant by those around us. Thank you that we can be confident and take courage that you have a plan to grow your kingdom until it is complete. In Jesus' name, amen.